Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to King of the Road. It's been such a long time and I'm delighted to welcome the one and only Sophie Rose.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Sophie.
Hello. Rory's being very nice to me, but he's not normally.
That's just
not, for this podcast.
Don't say that. It's a malicious lie.
That's not
true at all. But happy New Year to everyone. I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas. Sophie, how was your New Year?
I was working, actually, but it was lovely, you know. Just worked. That was it, really. But it was good. I came home and just chilled. My mum was up for Christmas. It was just me and her.
She was at Stamford Bridge.
Yep, I took her to the game. She thoroughly enjoyed it. She said, Sophie, they have a problem. They have a problem, you know, getting the ball in the box, don't they, Soph? And I was like, we do have a problem scoring goals.
She should get her on the channel. She knows what she's talking about.
She does. She's actually quite intellectual about football, probably more than me, to be honest. So probably should get her at the Bridge more often.
And what game was it? The Brighton game, Boxing Day?
Yes. She was happy in the end, I think. I said, oh, do you like Alonso? She goes, oh, yes, he's in my good books.
Oh, really?
I was like, okay, yeah. I was like, Rory, will we please?
Yes, absolutely. I'm sort of still recovering from a wonderful New Year. I went to a spa, would you believe?
Any good?
It was great. It would have been right up your street.
Would it really, though?
Yeah, I was just swanning.
I don't go to many spas.
Yeah, I've seen the inside of your handbag, though. It's full of, like, little samples of creams. And you do love that. And
yes,
it was a wonderful way to see in the New Year. I basically was just swanning around in a robe all day and then going out for a really luxurious dinner in the evening.
Excellent.
Like, yeah, really, yeah, really enjoyed it. Yeah, it was a spa in Surrey.
Okay, lovely.
In Baxter, it's called Pennyhill Park, and I highly recommend it. Yeah.
Well, if I get the chance, I'll go.
Yeah, no, you should. You should do it. It's right up your street. Yeah, you'd love it, actually. But I've noticed something this new year. It's clearly for you. It's, am I allowed to say this? It's new year, new lips.
New year, new lips. So I had an enhancement done into my lips. Only a little bit. But because when I saw Rory, they were still very swollen. So Rory was like, Sophie, what have you done to yourself? And I was like, Rory, don't worry. It's okay. It's just temporary. And now they're back to normal.
Ish. Are you still quite prominent?
No. It's impossible for that to be.
So what have you had? You've had an injection?
Yes, because I had no top lip. So when I take pictures, you tend to get the odd horrible comment, which normally I don't listen to. But it's nice to have them evened out a little bit. And
can't you just mute Charlie's comments?
Yeah, no, it's not Charlie. It's probably you, a load of different accounts. They were trained nurses, so you know, if you're going to get something done, I'm not against it, but just do it properly with trained nurses.
So do you know so this is all part of a cosmetic? Do you go to the same place for all body parts?
No.
Oh, there's like a specialist.
This is all
lips
I've had done, yeah.
No, it's not all you've had done.
No, it's not, no, but in like years and over the years, the only thing I've had done since I was 21.
And you do it up Harley Street?
Wimpole Street. So
right,
that's very
yeah,
near
just off
to.
It, yeah,
yeah, yeah, Harley Street, Wimpole Street. There are other places to do it, but there's so many people that do these sort of procedures that have just learnt to do it as like a one off, and that those people we really wouldn't go to.
It's
nurses.
A great neck of the woods. I reckon one day I want to live around there. Somewhere off Marylebone Lane, I could well
if
do
you've got
living.
2-3 mil for like a shed.
Yes, that's
invest.
The problem, but I could definitely, in my old age, I mean, I reckon when I'm sort of beyond 60, up until then I want to live, I'm hoping to one day live in Hampstead, but when I'm post 60, I want to sell Hampstead and move to somewhere off Marylebone Lane.
Well,
primarily because it's where the doctors are. And at that age, you never know.
You never know, but you've still got to pay a fortune to go in there.
You've definitely got to pay a fortune.
I remember actually when I had my tonsils out, I mean, just did a consultation, it's about £500, and then the operation itself. But with all due respect, if you're old and you've done, you've got your savings and stuff, there's no quicker place. They're like, well, when do you want the operation? Tomorrow? Now? I'm like, okay.
Oh, really? Is it like that?
Yeah, so quick. As well as if you are struggling or whatever and you're not old and haven't got loads of money saved, you're on about a year and a half waiting list.
So what's next? So we've done the obvious. We've done the lips. Anything else on the horizon?
I've got to actually have my nose done now, not cosmetically.
Stop it.
Not cosmetic.
What do you
mean? I've got I don't know why we're talking about this on a podcast.
I like it. I'm interested.
He loves it. No, I've got a problem with my sinuses, so I get a really bad sinus infection. So they've got to shave the inside of my nose to make it bigger so that I can breathe.
Oh, grim.
And that is a very awful operation. And
oh right, yeah, this has gone down an alley that I didn't want to go down. No. I was enjoying the sort of superficial stuff.
No, this is not superficial. This is serious.
A problem. Okay, well, good luck solving
good luck
that.
With that. Yeah.
In a happier environment, we've started a new year. The channel's been going now. We had our first birthday for CFC Fan TV. Had its first birthday towards the end of December. We turned one.
Yeah.
We've gone into the new year and it's going really well, isn't it?
Yeah,
everyone's getting on. Charlie isn't fighting with me. I'm not fighting with Sophie. Sophie's not fighting with Charlie.
In a happy place. The channel's doing very well. Everyone loves us. We're back outside the Konakai doing the fan cams, fan interviews. So come out and see us or see me if you're at the bridge on match days. And yeah, it's all going very well, isn't it? To be fair, we've turned one, but I would say maybe since July has it become a proper... proper thing. I'd say the last 6 months have been...
6 months is when we've hit it properly.
Yeah.
Which kind of ties
you
in...
when you start something new, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's tied in with us, you know, like the new job that I got, having access to a studio. It's all made a difference.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's gone very well since the turn of the year. You did a wonderful collaboration with Troops from Arsenal Fan TV.
Yeah, that was really fun. You know, listen, we definitely all support our own clubs. There's no love for either club on either side, but we all come from sort of the same background. The point of doing all these, you know, fan interviews and fan channels is that the fans really have a voice again, and that we're taken seriously. And I think in a few years' time, I think they're just starting to become really popular now, mainstream, as well as before it was more like a niche. Like if you like this sort of thing, if you like YouTube, but now they're becoming really, really popular, and that's the whole point, really, because football is nothing without fans. It can't survive without fans. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's. I completely agree with you. I think Arsenal Fan TV, that is certainly their purpose, and that's why they ever existed. It was to give the fans a voice in an era when we don't have one. I think that the disparity between the fan and the player is so far now, and the connect between the average fan and the average player is so far removed that this allows people to actually feel part of something.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Like, I absolutely love seeing, you know, an interview that has been done on Sky with JT. I love seeing a Frank Lampard documentary of, you know, his career or whoever's career, really, not just from our own club. But it was before I had any sort of fan channels, before all these vines started coming out and everything, all you really saw was the very corporate side of it. And actually, it sort of takes the fun out of it a little bit. And I always remember, I think this was during the old channel we were on, a guy came into the shed end and he had a really tiny little trumpet. I don't know if I've mentioned this to you before. He had a really tiny little trumpet and he started singing Blue Is the Colour on it.
Yeah, yeah, I remember.
And the steward told him to put it down. And this was only like 10 seconds into him doing it. And you've got big, huge, grown Chelsea men, like 40, 50-year-olds, going absolutely, like, mental doolally because this guy wasn't allowed to play his trumpet because we're not allowed to do anything. So the fans can't do anything. The fans can't do this. They can't do that. They can't say this. They can't say that. When really, what the fan channels do is allow you to say whatever you want and everyone sees it. And that's the main thing because I don't see... They're somehow along the line, the clubs and networks have to give back to the fans because we are the people that watch and
that's
the whole point of it.
And also, if you think about like the progression of just life, this is a next step for what was originally fanzines. So when I was a kid, I remember like queuing up at Fulham Broadway Station, I'd buy something called the Chelsea Independent.
Yeah.
And that was sort of CFC UK is what it's called now. But at the time, it was called the Chelsea Independent. There was also one when I was very young called Red Card. And I remember I used to buy these magazines. And it was great because it was a place where the fans would give their opinions on things.
Yeah.
And I could read articles. I was too young to be going to all the away games then. So I could read articles about, you know, Chelsea went to Leeds on the first day of the season, I think 94 maybe. And we won 3-2. I remember buying a fanzine and reading a first-hand account of how it went. I was reading, like, the guy, I remember he got up early, he got onto the train with a case of beer, off he went to the match, and I just remember being completely mesmerised by these stories. And now it's gone full circle. You don't have to read about it anymore. Somebody like you, who's quite skilled at a vlog, you know, I find a vlog very difficult to do, impossible often, but because you're very skilled at it, and a lot of the Arsenal Fan TV lads are very skilled at it as well, you can actually take people on that journey. So it doesn't, I wouldn't have to be a sort of, I don't know, however old I was, 8 year old reading about an away trip. I can now go with you from the safety of my own bedroom. It's a wonderful thing, and it's just an extension. What we do is basically an extension of the fanzines that existed when we were young.
Yeah, and it's sort of as well, it's like the only way really I can see what's happening with other clubs and everything like that is basically on Twitter and Instagram and things like that, because everybody's out doing their own thing, they've all got their own lives, you're not always going to be in at a set time. And one thing I do, especially on a Sunday, is I go on YouTube and I just watch whatever is about, anything I've missed or not caught up on. And that is, I wouldn't be able to live without my YouTube, I think, nowadays.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a great way to actually find out how fans are actually feeling about their club. So we played Norwich recently. I don't really, you know, it's very difficult for me to keep up with so much football. I don't know what Norwich are up to. I don't know what they're doing. But you go on YouTube, you have a look at that Talk Norwich City channel, you see the kid Jack Reeve, and you get a real insight, brilliantly produced and presented insight by this lad, by a wonderful channel. You get a great insight into the club as a whole, rather than going on the Norwich City website and having a really sanitised version.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a proper insight into the club.
Yeah. It's a good way for us to connect with you, like, because you know that Norwich, you put up the post, didn't you, on what you thought the thoughts were after the Norwich game.
Mm.
And you just get fans from all over the world, and you just get their opinions. Well, as you wouldn't have had that before.
Yeah.
Just, everybody goes to the game, and you sort of hear what somebody says around you, or you hear what the pundits say, but you don't actually hear what the fans actually think.
Yeah.
And now we're lucky that, you know, some people have Twitter, they don't have Instagram, other vice versa. Other people watch YouTube, they don't really have much social media, and some people watch social media, they don't watch a lot of it YouTube. But at least we get to see what all you fans think. Including my say, like, I have my own opinion as well.
Yeah.
And it's...
So if you're not on YouTube, get on YouTube.
Yeah, guys, you've got to subscribe. Subscribe. Me, I was talking to Rory about this. I was like, I want you all to subscribe. Please. CFC Fan TV. ASAP.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
Yeah, let us know that you came
by
the
podcast.
I'm
there waiting. Let me know. Yeah, comment and let me know.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but yeah, that's
so we have a massive week coming up.
We do. We've got a huge Arsenal, week coming up. And I've Arsenal got a huge cold, if you can't tell. Sorry, guys.
Arsenal in a semi-final. It doesn't get much bigger than that, does it? Under the floodlights, midweek, London derby, place at Wembley at stake.
It is huge, and I love these games. Arsenal actually is my granddad's team. My granddad's team, and I could easily have gone that way,
really?
I think, when I was younger. My dad actually was born in Tottenham.
Really?
Right near, a couple rows down from White Hart Lane. Obviously, he saw the light. I think his brother was Tottenham, and my dad chose Chelsea. So I'm not... My hatred for Arsenal isn't like what it is for Tottenham, but... I've experimented with this. I've gone up to Arsenal. I've thought, could I be an Arsenal fan? Could I ever have been one? And I don't get it. It's just not me. It's too... Arsenal fans are too... Obviously, you see the wacky guys, but they're too chill. You know, they're just too chill. I'm a bit more weird. I need some, like...
I know what you
some
mean.
Excitement and...
Yeah, a lot of Arsenal fans in my family. My cousin is a cab driver.
Blue.
My cousin's a black cab driver. He's an Arsenal fan. And that whole side of my family are all... All gooners. So this is a big one for me.
Yeah.
It's very important. It's very important.
It is. I feel like we're just two very different, both in London, two very different clubs. I don't see any resemblance between the way we play. I don't get it. I don't see it. So it's an interesting game
I think
to watch.
The ethos of the two clubs has been hugely different over the past decade as well.
Yeah.
I think the way that Arsenal have tried to conduct their business and the way that Chelsea have tried to conduct theirs have been completely different.
And you know what you get? You get Arsenal fans that say, you know, Chelsea, we're all about the money, you go through every single different manager, whatever. But actually, when you look at it as a whole, and I'm only starting to realise it probably in the last year, is that our owners, Roman Abramovich, they want to win trophies. That's all they care about. They want to win leagues every single season.
Yeah.
And that's what, ultimately, they
do it
for.
Football for me, yeah.
And you look at the other side of it with Arsenal, they show the utmost loyalty to their manager, but it's gone too far now. And I think the problem, I'll just mention this, because I feel like this is one thing, is that nobody ever... I don't ever see any major pundits ever criticising Arsenal's man, Arsene Wenger, when, can you imagine if Mourinho went 11, 12 years without winning a Premier League title? What do you think the media would be saying every single other game?
Yes, I think that's true.
It's just becoming a bit
true.
Unbiased now. And I feel sorry for the fans. I feel, why did they have to go Forest and lose? I can feel empathy towards them.
I think there's two ways about going about your business, aren't there? Like, ultimately, everybody's after the same thing, and that is the Holy Grail of the Premier League, the Champions League, and if not that, cups are great as well.
Yeah.
So the point is to win trophies, but there's two ways about going about it, and they are, you either adopt the Chelsea approach, which is be very pragmatic about it, bring in impact managers, a manager who comes in for 2 years, 2.5 years, wins a Premier League in his first year, wins two cups in his second year, and he's gone by a third year. And you repeat that cycle over and over again, and over the course of 10 years, you accrue 25 trophies.
Yeah.
Or you do it a different way and you find a man who you want to have a legacy and you allow him time to build a team, to build to build the foundation of something great that will involve a youth system, a big transfer budget that doesn't go too crazy.
You'll
also try and balance the books and ultimately try and create a legacy in the mould of somebody like, I think Wenger has actually tarnished his legacy, so I think the example is probably Alex Ferguson.
Yeah, but I think, didn't he leave? Because my friends and Man United fans said, you know what, I don't think he thought he even had time to rebuild a team to be able to challenge for the Premier League title again.
I think that he left, well, the team that he left.
He left at a good time, though. He left
the team of champions, though. He handed over the reins that were, you know, the team that he left behind were the current champions.
Yeah.
I know there's more to that statement than it necessarily is revealed there. I know they were an ageing team and et cetera, but the team that they were then, compared to the team that, like, they haven't won the league since then.
I know.
That's the longest they've ever not won the Premier League for. So I think now that it's about impact managers. And I like Chelsea's system. Saying that, I hope Antonio Conte stays forever.
Yeah. No, do you know what I think? I think it's fine. I think nowadays, I think it's sort of like if you want to have a strategy and you make a 10-year plan or you make a 5-year plan even for your club, it's very, very difficult to do that in the Premier League now. Because I think back, I don't know, maybe 6-7 years ago, you always sort of knew who was going to get top four. Man United, Chelsea.
Yeah, you did. There were four places and there were a big four.
Yeah, and now there isn't really that because the Premier League changes every single year. People, like, you know, teams figure out how the others are playing, so they change their formation. So you've got to change it every single year. And actually, when you're having to constantly keep up with the Premier League itself, season after season, it doesn't, not like it stays the same for a couple of seasons, then you change. It's very hard to sort of maintain consistency in what manager you're going to have, or what strategy you're going to have, because you're going to feel like, okay, well, this has happened now, so I'm going to have to change this. So I think it's very hard. So I think, actually, although I don't agree with firing managers every 6 months to a year...
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There has to be some
turnover.
Yeah, there is. And I do think we let go of our managers a little bit too early sometimes. I really do. And I think if we let go of Conte anytime soon, that would be really horrendous. Yeah.
How are you feeling ahead of these Arsenal games? You confident?
Yeah, I'm confident. Depends what sort of... always depends how we play in the first half, I think. Because I know Arsenal are going to be up for it. Like you said, they've got massive point to prove, haven't they, after their really embarrassing defeat to Forest. But equally, we are as well. We're under a lot of pressure. I think Morata especially just has to start scoring goals again. I know it's quite tough for him to come into a Premier League and he's not used to playing this many games and all that sort of thing, but, you know, you've just got to
suck it up.
Basically.
And but overall confident, are we going to Wembley in February?
Yes. I think we are. The only reason we won't is if... it just does pain me to say it a little bit, but like I say, Morata missed three chances in the last game against Arsenal. I don't want that to happen again. Mm. He needs to have worked on it. He needs to have practiced. It's not rocket science.
They're going to be massively up for it, aren't they, Arsenal?
They're going to be up for it because, let's face it, they're not going to win the Premier League this season. Absolutely no chance. No. How far are they away from the top of the Premier League? Like,
yeah, no, they're not going to win the Premier League. It's completely impossible. They're going to struggle to get top four.
Yeah, exactly. So... that being said, I think they've sort of got to put their all into this cup for... And, well, you could argue that if Wenger does win this cup, it sort of makes him feel a little bit like, OK, I'm still good, when you're not.
Well, it's true. I think any season that ends with you with some silverware isn't a completely lost season. If you end any season with a trophy, you've done OK. At the very least, you've done OK.
Yeah, it's not, but I think,
remember,
Arsenal,
Chelsea went 25 years without a trophy. It was terrible.
Yeah, but I do think that I think this is a very different era, and I also think that Arsenal are they've got a particular situation at the moment, which I do agree with the Arsenal fans. It has gone too far, and I'm trying not to be biased here. When I went up and saw us, when did we play them? Like a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
I saw some really good players that are managed by somebody who is way too chilled out. That's the way I see it. And if they had a manager like Conte, if they had a manager like, even if they, I don't know, really like strong
just,
impact
just
managers.
Just an impassioned manager, yeah, Sam
somebody,
Allardyce.
Yes, even maybe somebody, they honestly would be doing, like flying ahead of where they are now. And I feel sorry for any fan that has to go and watch that week in, week out, because yes, it isn't fair and it has gone too far. And as a manager anyway, why would you want...
So their last chance of silverware this year, you know, discounting their European adventures, is their last chance of domestic silverware is the League Cup.
Yeah, having said that, we've got to be very careful because, like I say, when you rotate your team round too much, which I hope he doesn't do in this game, I can't imagine.
I think we'll play our strongest
to.
Team in that game, surely.
Yeah, I hope we will. But like I say, when you start thinking, okay, well, this is the cup, we've got a lot of fixtures here, you start dropping off your couple players here and there, it doesn't work. I think now, if anything to learn from the Norwich game, we have to put out a strong team. If we need to rest somebody towards the end of the game, completely different situation, but you need to go out of your strongest team and just go for it now, because this season has the potential to be incredible and also the potential to go very downhill.
Yes, go a bit flat. Yeah, if you end up getting knocked out in the semi-final by Arsenal and then beaten by Barcelona, it suddenly feels very, very
exactly
flat.
So I think we just need to keep up the momentum.
Yes, absolutely.
By winning
games. I agree. Are you keeping the momentum up on your wonderful holidays? I live vicariously through you when I follow you. You're off to...
You know, people think that I go on a lot of holidays.
You do, but then, do you know why they think that?
Because I'm away.
Because you go on a lot of holidays.
But do you know what? It's because I really never get any time off work. So when I do go away, I tend to go away for only 2-3 nights at a time. So when I'm in Vegas, my birthday, I only went for 2 nights.
When's the next adventure?
I don't know. I've got the chance to go to Miami in March.
Ooh.
Only for 2 nights.
Dancing
again
in the city when the heat is on. All night on the beach until the break of dawn.
If I get a sun... Well, that's not what they sing over there, Roy, I can assure you. But
it was what Will Smith said. You can't argue with him.
If I can go Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I will try and do that. And then back, obviously, for work on Wednesday. I don't miss any of the games. But it's very slim. So I think definitely in May. I've got a holiday booked in May.
Where?
New York, Vegas. Ooh. And then we're gonna go New York and Vegas, and then we're gonna put the names 12 cities in a hat, roll the dice, and whatever number it comes out on, we're gonna go to that city.
Well, hopefully it's like somewhere on the way though. You want it to be...
No, so it will be in America.
You want it to be on the way to... You want it to be somewhere between New York
and
Vegas.
No, it's New York, then Vegas, and then...
So
everywhere.
You could roll the dice and end up with like Austin and have to go down to Texas.
Well, no, because we're choosing 12 places.
Ah, okay, right.
So
right,
we're not gonna go there, but San Francisco, Miami, they're all in there.
Guess who's playing
who?
In Las Vegas at the moment. I'm considering it myself.
Really?
J-Lo.
Oh god. Yeah.
Seriously, my anniversary's coming up. I'm considering...
Gotta love J-Lo.
I can't say that on here. Victoria will be listening.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what? This is how we'll find out if she actually listens.
Yeah, to your podcast.
She says she listens. Podcast, yeah. I won't say anything. I'm not even going to mention this to her. I won't mention that I've said this, and I'll see if she ever flags it. Victoria, if you listen to this bit,
that's his wife.
You have to tell me about it.
Yeah.
I bet she doesn't actually listen.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I wouldn't if I was her, to be honest.
I really fancy that. I fancy 4 nights, 5 nights in the Wynn in Vegas.
Yeah.
Go and see J-Lo one night and Boys to Men the next.
Excellent.
What an incredible holiday that would be.
There are loads of things out there. You know, just everything and anything.
Would
go
you like
nice
that? I can imagine you in the Encore Beach Club.
Yeah, I love that place.
Bit of Calvin Harris.
I do. But I mean, I went in November for my birthday and obviously the pool parties are closed then. But we did lovely things. A couple of American friends took me to like a sports bar and we watched some NFL. That was really fun.
That sounds terrible.
Oh, it was really good actually. Really fun. It's fun when you're watching it with American people who know how it actually is.
I went to a baseball game. I was in New York for my cousin's stag do, and we went to a baseball game. I quite enjoyed it, but I sat there in sheer bafflement for the entire thing. I had no idea what was going on. It went on for ages.
Well, I find America is just, obviously it's such a huge country, but we really only have football here. I mean, yeah, okay, fine, the boxing's quite big, and cricket, to be fair.
Cricket during...
But really, the only thing that's really properly broadcast that people talk about every weekend, that you go down the pub, talk about your mates with, is football. As well as there, you've got basketball, you've got baseball, you've
basketball.
Got basketball, you've got
baseball. What's basketball?
Basketball. You've got basketball, you've got baseball, you've got NFL, you've got ice hockey.
They love a bit of hockey, yeah.
Ice hockey's huge over there. My friends are like, yeah, we'll take you to the Las Vegas
soccer
arena.
As well is now kind of one of those sports.
Yeah,
isn't
soccer's
it?
Becoming really big. They've got so many sports over there, so it's a little bit hard to keep up, but nevertheless, I'm sure it'll be an interesting summer.
God, I wonder where your third city's gonna be. That's exciting.
Well, it's Miami, San Francisco, LA, Cabo, which is in Mexico, Cancun.
Just kick it like Cabo.
Chicago, I'd love to go.
Yeah, Chicago would be good.
Yeah, really San Diego good. I've been to, which is lovely.
You could pay homage to
San Diego,
home.
Guys, you got to go. Everyone's just chilled in life. I mean, they're all on little bikes and buggies, and there's little like fairy lights everywhere.
Where's that, San Diego?
It's just bizarre.
Is that good, yeah?
And when you land in the airport, it's all green. And I mean, Vegas is always my number one, so I just absolutely love it.
When were you
there,
in San Diego?
I went 4 nights with my stepmom to Vegas, and my mates were like, do you want to go to San Diego? So we're like, all right. So we got to us. And then actually our flight, so we had to catch a flight back from San Diego to Vegas to get home to get back to London Heathrow. And our flight from San Diego, the plane, the TVs weren't working. So we all had to get off. And obviously it's only a 45-minute flight, but it's about a 5-hour drive. So we would have fully missed our flight home and everything. But luckily, they put us on another plane and we made it just in time.
Crisis averted.
Yeah, crisis averted, luckily.
What a wonderful...
Obviously, I was tired, hungover, very hungry, hadn't eaten in a few days. So I was not in the best
mood. So you didn't have a chance to get down to Zuma. I don't know if any of you follow Sophie. I'm imagining that the majority of people listening to this do. But if you follow Sophie on Instagram, you'll see that she is forever... in a wonderful restaurant.
I don't know why I've ended up there so much. You know what it is? I think it's a great... They've got like a little bar there and you go with your friends. And I'm not a huge... I'm really not a huge drinker. So it's like there's a nice little bar of cocktails.
I also... Like I just stated, I follow you on Instagram. I see the shots.
Only with friends. So it's only if I'm like forced into it. And it's like sort of after work drinks. After work drinks, sorry. but apart from that, yeah. It's just really nice food. Really healthy foods. All meat and fish.
So Zuma is one of London's best restaurants?
I would say it is. Yeah, they're worldwide.
And
though.
You're in there, what, twice a week?
No, I haven't been there now since when Chris see my mum. And, where else have I been? I just go every now and again when my friend's there. It's a nice little... You can go for lunch, you can go for dinner. Just a nice little place to go and have a talk and then... Yeah,
and what is it part of your clubbing circuit? Is it like Novikov where you can go downstairs and have a...
No, they've just got a bar, a chatty bar. Have a talk with people and everything. Everyone's generally in quite a good mood. But yeah, I only go to see my friends that I don't really get to see very often. It's sort of somewhere they go after work or whatever, so I'll just pop along.
Do you know where we have to go? I forgot to tell you this. We have to go. A friend of mine who supports Chelsea, kind of know him through going to Stamford Bridge, he's from Italy. He's opened a new restaurant, or relatively new restaurant now, in Kilburn, all pizzas.
Okay,
it's
great.
Neapolitan pizza. It's called Quartieri, and it's on Kilburn High Road. We have to go.
Okay, we'll
go. We should do a video from there, actually.
But we'll do a nice video from there.
Do a video. But yeah, you have to try it out, and I'll be very interested to, because you go to such lovely restaurants.
You know what we'll do? Next time we win a trophy,
we'll win at Wembley on the way home.
It'll be an Italian celebration of Antonio Conte, and we'll go through our best and worst moments of the season, and we'll
definitely
do all that. That's a good
definitely.
Video.
If anyone listening to this ever fancies a lovely pizza, you should definitely get down to Quartieri and say Rory sent you as well, so he knows. but yeah, it's wonderful. And if we're playing at Wembley in February, it's on. You know, it's not particularly near Wembley, but it's on the Jubilee line, so we can
take a
pit stop. Exactly. Yeah, Charlie loves it there.
Okay, good. Well, Charlie loves food, doesn't he? I do too, but only with beer. Charlie's.
Yeah, we haven't seen it. Charlie hasn't been on this podcast for ages.
Criminal.
I've begged him, and he's just not interested.
Criminal.
I know. It's not acceptable. but yeah, so thank you so much for coming on. It's been too long.
It has, hasn't it?
What's this, your second appearance ever?
My second appearance. I'll definitely try and get on a bit more often.
Good, thank you.
It's lovely. It's
very
fun.
It's an open invite. People love to hear what you have to say.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Right, well, we will catch up at... I'll be seeing you at Stamford Bridge on Wednesday night.
You will indeed.
And I can't wait for that. Thank you all so much for listening.
You've got a score
prediction? I really hope you enjoyed it. Yeah, I think I'm confident, actually. I think that what happened to Arsenal against Nottingham Forest will have done them a massive mischief. And I think that we need to go in to the away leg in the lead. We can't possibly go into it needing to win. So I think we will win, and I think we'll win 2-0.
2-0?
2-0 basically gives us, basically puts us at Wembley, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know what? It all depends how they react, though, to their last game. It's going to go one way or the other.
They'll capitulate. They'll capitulate, I'm sure of it. The pressure will be so on them, their fans will be on their back after about 10 minutes.
All right, if Morata is on his game, 3-1, just to ensure.
3-1, that will certainly take us there as well. Guys, thank you so much for listening, and I will be back next week with the King of the Road. See you then.